we're going to move on in our series this morning. My name's Carrie O'Connor. My husband and I are the lead pastors here. And I get the great privilege of talking about the mission of God. And last week, we talked about how Jesus came to give us new life. And everything has really culminated to this point. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it all is from when God sent Jesus, he gave us access to himself. And the mission of God is to bring all of humanity, all of creation, back into right relationship with him. And we can do that through Jesus. And last week, we illustrated that with a cake and our new creation. It was great. Check that out if you weren't there online. But we are here today to talk about what our role is in the mission of God. I want you to look in, or open up to Matthew 28, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This commission that we have to go and make disciples, it's what this series is all about, disciples making disciples. We have this great privilege of being Christ's ambassadors. We go, we speak, we love, we do all in the name of Jesus. And it's this great responsibility we have, and we hear this in Matthew 28. This is when Jesus rose from the dead, and right before he ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples one last instruction, and he's saying, everything that I've said to you, everything that I've taught you, now you do it to others. You make disciples in all nations. Disciples making disciples making disciples. It's an awesome thing. So to start off this morning, I need a volunteer. Some brave soul. I need one volunteer. You're not going to do something weird. You're not going to do anything with a cake. I promise. Anyone brave? Tommy, I see your hand. Awesome. Thank you. I know you didn't raise your hand, but I'm taking you anyways. Come on up. I love this kid. He's so awesome. If you haven't met Tommy Lee Pitts, you need to meet him. He is a fine young man. All right, Tommy, have a seat right here. That's all you got to do. Nothing else. All right, Tommy is going to represent. He's going to be my friend, my neighbor, my coworker. Okay, this is my circle. Okay, our circle of influence. When we talk about circles, we're like the people you rub shoulders with. Okay, Tommy's going to represent that. All right, scoot over, Tommy, because I'm going to sit next to you. All right, now imagine that Tommy and I are in the desert, okay? So you got to pretend like you're in the desert. It's really hot,
okay.
And we're lost. We have no compass. We just got dropped off. It's like a survivor thing, okay? You got that? All right, so we're in the desert. We have no water either. I forgot to tell you that. So we have no water. We're in the desert, and we're dying of thirst. Can you feel it? Yeah, okay. All right, good. All right, so we're here sitting in the desert. It's worse than a zoo even here. I hate zoos. If you don't know that about me, zoos are the worst. The dry animals and the, like, it's always hot and there's always, everyone's crying. It's just the worst. Now I'm getting thirsty just thinking about it, and I'm in the desert and now I'm really thirsty. All right, I'll be right back, okay? I'm going to go look for some water. You stay there. I felt like I saw some water over here earlier. Oh, look at this. Look at this, you guys. I was so thirsty, and now, look, this refreshing water in the desert, it's so good. It's so refreshing. This is the best water I've ever had. Wow, it's like I'll never be thirsty again. This is amazing. I better go check on Tommy, see how he's doing. Hey, still no water, huh? That stinks. Well, it's getting hot here.
Yeah,
I'll be back. I'm going to get some more water. That desert is the worst. Oh, this is good. Imagine if we did that. How cruel would that be? If we were in the desert and I found some water and I never told my friend about it. I came back and just sat and I never told my friend about the water that I found. How cruel would that be? That is what we do when we've tasted the living water, Jesus. We've experienced new life. and we never share it with those around us. That's exactly how it is. That's how cruel it is. Give Tommy a round of applause. You can have a seat, Tommy. Thanks, bud. I think we all know the Great Commission. We, you know, a lot of us, many of us have heard the scripture. We've memorized it. But yet so often we fail to carry it out. And I think there's some reasons behind that. There's some obstacles that stand in our way. And I'm going to highlight three of them this morning. And the first one is a fear of man or insecurity. A lot of times we are afraid of what people are going to think. What if I offend them? You know, we live in such a culture that we're afraid that we're going to offend people. We're fearful that they're, you know, what if I get rejected? You know, what if, you know, this is well water, and I think they're sparkling water people. I think they like LaCroix. You know, we kind of make all these excuses and have all this fear of man and worry more about what they're going to think and if they're going to accept it or not. And that is a big obstacle when we're trying to carry out the mission of God. A lot of times we think, what if I don't have the words? I mean, that's legitimate. I think all of us have thought that. Is what if I don't have the words to say? What if I don't have the information? What if I don't know? What if they ask something and I don't know? Well, let me tell you, you being here this morning, this is part of you being equipped. Coming here weekly and gathering with believers and gaining knowledge, understanding. It's why we're going through this series, is to equip you. Why you go to your life group, it's to be equipped. Why you get into God's word, it's to be equipped. But here's the great news. It doesn't just rest on us. It doesn't just rest on if we have the knowledge, if we have the skills, if we have the ability. Because if that were the case, we'd all be lost. We'd all be a mess. But the great thing is that we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. There is greatness living inside of us. It's not just greatness living inside of us like, you're doing a good job. You can do it, man. So that, like when God told Moses to go and free his people, and Moses made all the excuses, and he said, I can't do it. I'm not adequate. I can't talk right. I can't do it. And he kept going, I can't. And God, what did God say? God didn't say, no, Mo, you're great. You're strong enough. You're smart enough. People like you. He didn't say any of that stuff. What did God say? He said, do not be afraid. I will be with you. It's all about God. It has very little to do with our ability and more to do with our availability. That's it. I was, last year I went to, in the spring, I went to district council. It's when all the pastors from Wisconsin get together for meetings once a year. And we were at this missions banquet. And I was sitting there and realized I was on this weird restrictive diet. And when the food came, I realized I couldn't eat any of the food. And I was like, oh, I was so annoyed with myself that I didn't come prepared. And I thought, well, I'm just going to leave real quick. There are a couple restaurants right in the area. I'll go get something to eat, and then I'll come back, and I won't miss the speakers. I went to 3 restaurants, and they were either closed or didn't have anything I could eat. I was so frustrated. I ended up going to the 4th one that I didn't want to go to because you had to wait for your food for, you know, none of us wait for our food anymore. And I had to wait longer than I wanted to. And I was sitting there, and long story short, I struck up this conversation with the host. He was about a 20-year-old kid. And while we were talking, I found out that he grew up in church, or at least attended while he was a teenager, and now he's far from God, and he doesn't know what he thinks about God, and he got really hurt. And then my food came, and I was like, shoot, I wanted to finish this conversation. And then they got the order wrong. And so they had to wait until they bring it back and extended our conversation. And I had a few things that I felt like God was saying to share with them. And I said those things, and then the right food came, and he went and helped other people, and I had to go. And I drove away back to the missions dinner thinking, oh, man, did I say enough? Like, I only said this little part, and there's so much else I wanted to say. And, you know, what if, you know, I should have clinched the deal. Like, we should have prayed right there, you know? I felt all these inadequacies and felt like I messed up. And then I went down and I sat down, and the mission speaker that got up, just while all these thoughts were swirling in my head, starts speaking the verses about there's one who plants and one who waters. It's God who makes it grow. And I felt this weight of responsibility come off of me. God gave me, I mean, it wasn't a coincidence that our paths crossed at that time. There was no coincidence. God orchestrated that. That was a divine appointment. But it wasn't my responsibility to force that or do all these things. And I, you know, when I said we had this great responsibility to carry out the Great Commission, we've got a cheat sheet. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got greatness living inside of us, and He orchestrates our paths. He puts us around certain people for a reason and opens up doors and will speak things to us if we allow Him access. But so often we get distracted. So often I left thinking, left that dinner and went to that restaurant thinking it's about my belly or about my time. And I, at first I was distracted by those things until God opened my eyes to, no, this is a divine appointment right here. I've orchestrated this so that you could speak the words that I want to say to Him right now, that you can plant this seed or that you could water this a little bit. But we get distracted by stuff. We get distracted by success, by money, by so many different things, by our own desires. But really, God can use anything, anything, anything in our lives. If you're a student and you play sports, God can use you on your sports team. It doesn't have to be, well, I have here, I have, you know, my sports. Here I have my work. Here I have these little compartments. And then I go to church, and this is in another box. It's not like that in the kingdom of God. He's everywhere and in everything, and He can use everything in all situations. It's up to us to just open our eyes to those things and say, okay, God, what are you doing here? How are you moving here? That's why when we walk with the Lord, we're walking in His Spirit. We're asking the Spirit to guide us, to lead us. When Jesus left and ascended to heaven, He said, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit, though. When I leave, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit so that we can walk with Him, that we can know His truth, that we know what to say and where to go and how to live and how to love. It's just this amazing power that we have that I feel like we don't tap into nearly often enough, because oftentimes we make it about us. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. This is actually the first verse I ever memorized as a seventh grader. And it was, in the version that I memorized, it was, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When we're going about life, if we can set our minds on things above, set our minds on the things of heaven, and not just the here and now, God will open up so many doors, and we'll see, okay, how can I be a part of this mission of God to redeem the world? When we give our lives to Jesus and He makes us this new creation, we are now, our lives aren't our own anymore, so we're not about the stuff of this world anymore. We're about His mission. We're doing things for His name and His renown. So let's not get distracted. I think some of the things are obvious distractions that we can tend to fall into, and it's obvious pitfalls that we can kind of get us off the way. But there are some distractions that are a little bit more subtle. And I'm going to highlight one of them this morning, and that is pain. So many of us go through pain, all of us, in fact. We all struggle because we live in a broken and fallen world. And so until we are reunited with Jesus in heaven, until He comes back and makes a new heaven and a new earth where every pain is gone, every tear is wiped away, there will be no more suffering, no more sadness. Until then, we all have to deal with pain. It's a reality of being human. And in the middle of pain, sometimes it's hard to see anything else, especially when you're struggling with something so intense and so consuming. But let me encourage you this morning. If we can set our eyes on Jesus, instead of focusing on the pain and the struggle and seeing Jesus just in the peripheral, let's swap that and set our eyes on Jesus. The pain is there. I'm not saying ignore it. Don't ignore the struggle or the things that you're going through, the stuff. It's there. It's a reality. You don't have to ignore it, but let it be in the peripheral. That it's, I'm setting my eyes on Jesus. How do you do that? Because that's you might go, yeah, that's nice to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But let's read how Jesus, how he did this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now listen to Jesus' example. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Do you walk in the victory or in the struggle? When you walk in the victory, you know that this life is temporary. When you walk in the victory, we know that we're in this world, but not of it. When we walk in the victory, we can boast in our weaknesses because when we are weak, he is strong. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were, it talks about Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel, and they were beaten and thrown into prison. And in prison, they were in their chains, and it says right about midnight, they started worshiping and praising God. They had just been beaten and thrown into prison, and they're in their cells worshiping and praising God. And it says that about that time, an earthquake came and shook the jail to its core, and the prison walls flew open, and the chains fell off all the prisoners. And it was such a miraculous event that the jailer put in charge, he looks at the disciples and said, how can I be saved? Like, this was amazing. And that very night, that jailer was saved. His whole household was saved. He was baptized all on that night. Paul and Silas, they were in a struggle. They were in a pain. They were in a prison. But in their prison, they set their eyes on Jesus. And look what happened. God will not waste your pain. Sometimes those very prisons, those very places of struggle are the very places that God wants to transform us and use it to reach people, to expand his kingdom, if we give him access. There was a woman who... She was a part of this church, and she and her husband were missionaries, and her name was Marilyn, and some of you know her. She came back about 10 years ago with her husband off the mission field before she died. She got diagnosed with ALS, and I didn't know Marilyn personally. I really wish I did, but I watched her from afar. And I used to read her blogs, and I would be just drawn to tears. In the middle of this horrible pain, an horrible disease, she was able to have such intimacy with the Lord. And it impacted me huge, and it impacted countless others. God will never waste your pain. This life is so temporary. The people he surrounds us with, the circumstances he surrounds us with, he can use it to be for his mission, to expand his kingdom, to change lives. So we talked about two different obstacles this morning so far, the fear of man and insecurity, and distraction. The third obstacle I'm going to highlight this morning to carrying out the mission of God is craving comfort. All right, we're going to have to stretch a little bit here, okay? Put on our big boy and big girl pants, all right? Because some of this might be a little bit difficult for some of you to hear. Craving comfort. I'm going to step on some toes, okay? We're okay with that? I think all of you nodded, so we're going to go forward. Craving comfort is enjoying the things of God for ourselves, but forgetting what the purpose is. And I'll refer to this as spiritual gluttony. There's a phrase that I hear and that I've heard growing up in church, and it's called, people have said it so many times, and it's, you might have heard it or you might have said it yourself, it's, I need to get fed. I need to go where I'm getting fed. I'm not getting fed there. I need to get fed somewhere. I need to get fed. Now, in 1 Peter 2, it talks about spiritual milk for new believers. And when you're a new believer, you are born into God's family. It's a rebirth. It's like a spiritual birth. First, you were born as a physical birth. And when you're born into God's family, when you give your life to Jesus, you're born again. And so it's like you're an infant. It's like you're a baby and you have to be spoon-fed. And that's all of us. All of us were at that stage or are at that stage now where we've had to have spiritual milk and learn the things of God and walk, learn how to walk and learn how to talk. But oftentimes I hear this phrase, I need to get fed, not by baby Christians, but by full-grown adult Christians. Now think about that for a second. How awkward would that be, me as a full-grown adult, to say that I need someone to feed me, to come over here, if I made my husband come over here and cut up my stuff for me and put it in my mouth because I need to get fed? How awkward would that be? That's how we approach sometimes when we are consuming and needing to get fed. I'm not saying we don't need to grow. We all need to grow. We all need to be around good teaching. We all need to be around spiritual mentors. No matter how long you've been a Christian, we all need that. But this whole idea of stuffing ourselves and then not giving away to anyone else, that's spiritual gluttony. People are dying in the desert wanting a little bit of what we have. My son, Campbell, the other day, he's 5 years old. The other day, he throws himself on the ground and starts kicking his feet and stomping and said, I can't put my shoes on. I can't put my shoes on. His shoes are straps. They're not even tied. And I looked at him and I said, Campbell, you are 5, not 3. Put your shoes on. And he snaps out of it and goes, okay, and put his shoes on. Sometimes we need people to tell us when we're being immature. And maybe this applies to you in here, and if it doesn't, disregard it. But if it does, listen to what I'm saying here. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews actually had to talk this way to the early church. In verses 12 through 14, it says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. See, it's nice being the baby, though. All the other siblings in the family kind of roll their eyes at the baby, but it's nice being the baby. You don't have to have any responsibility. You don't have to do any of the chores. Let's put it in the context of the church. You don't have to get the coffee ready for the rest of the family to enter the house. You don't have to take care of the other brothers and sisters in the nursery. It's nice being the baby. It's nice being spoon-fed and waited on and rocked. But if that's you, and you're a full-grown, mature Christian, it's time to step up. You might be being rocked to sleep and rocked into a slumber, and it's time to wake up. You're getting too heavy to be carried up the stairs, and mama's back, Mother Church, is hurting, and it's time to carry your own weight. It's time to step out. It's time to give that food that you've been taking and feed someone else. It's time to get out of the safe, warm wombs of Christianity, of our clubs, and go out to a dark and dying world that needs light and hope. It's time to stop being a baby. Now, if this isn't for you, don't take it. If it is for you, listen. Ezekiel 34 is more harsh even than I was just now. In Ezekiel, the Lord calls these kind of people fat sheep. He's talking to the shepherds of Israel. In verse 8, he says this, "As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve." Then verses 20 through 21 says, "I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands." That's spiritual gluttony. Being on mission is compassion for the lost. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that he came to seek and save those who were lost. We've somehow strayed from the mission of God as the American church, though. Do you know most people will never share their faith with a believer, with an unbeliever? Most Christians. Most Christians will never share their faith with someone else. We've been content to come and sit instead of go and make. We've got to come back to what the mission is of the church. It's not about programs. It's not about any of the stuff. Those all can be used to expand God's mission. But we got to remember what this is all about. The danger of the church today is that it would exchange the power and beauty and mission of God for the predictable and safe. The danger is for us to become apathetic and distracted and entertained and tame and lulled to sleep. But can you imagine what would happen if we got this? Can you imagine if we all would rise up and we all would join in the mission of God? There's so many great things happening in this church. There are so many people who have got this, who are on mission. There's so many new ministries being born. It's so exciting to be a part of. Can you imagine if we all joined together, though? We didn't just let those people do it, but we all joined together on mission for God. Let me give you a little bit of context of church culture and trends. Basically, churches have, when you study churches and you study life cycles of churches, churches have a life cycle, just like everything else. And a church is planted, and people evangelize and make disciples, and those disciples come together, and they enjoy fellowship and time together. And then without an envisioning to go and make more disciples, then eventually those believers just become mature believers without adding to their numbers. And then all of a sudden, this church plant, it's on the rise, and then it dies a slow death. And some of you have been in that pain from other churches where you've been in a dying church. And it's heartbreaking and it's sad. Now take a church plant. A church plant is exciting. A church plant is, they've got all these new believers coming in, but they have no mature believers oftentimes to disciple these new believers. Then a long-tenured existing church has all these mature believers, but no new believers coming in. Look at where we are at as a church. It is a very unique situation. We have the best of both worlds. If you've been around for a little while, you can see we've got so many new believers coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We've got so much new life happening. I was just talking to someone this week who's been at this church since the very beginning, and she was saying the exact words that I was going to say this morning, going, "All this new life, this is exciting." I mean, this is why some of you are in here and you have just started a relationship with Jesus, and we get kind of giddy around you. It's because we're so excited. We are, this is what we're here for, is we're so excited that you're sharing in this amazing family of God, that you're changing the history of your future families. Now, at the same time, we're experiencing these characteristics of a new church plant, but we're not a church plant. We're a 38-year-old church. So we've got the benefit of this huge amount of mature believers. So we've got all these new believers coming in. We've got a base of all these mature believers. It is seriously, what a gift. What an amazing position we find ourselves in. But it doesn't happen on accident, and it doesn't happen without intentionality. We have this position. We're in this position. We don't want to be like oil and water, though, where these two groups never mix. We need to be intentional about discipleship. If you're a mature believer, if you've been following Christ for a while, seek out who you can disciple, who you can pour into, who you can mentor, who you can share the faith with. Even if you feel like, I don't have all the right answers, I don't have all the stuff, I don't have any degree, whatever you do know, whatever you can share, whatever you can pass on, do it. We have containers for that here. We have different ministries that you can serve in. We have children's or youth, ushering even. It doesn't matter what you serve in here. Everything's designed for people to mentor people, for disciples to mentor disciples, to make disciples in every area, every serving opportunity. You can join some of those things and use your gifts and do it there. But the main thing is being available. Going, God, who are you highlighting to me? Who are you crossing paths with me? Who can I've seen this person and I would love to share with them my life's journey, the stuff that I know. Look for that, mature believers. New believers, if you're just getting going in your faith, seek out mentorship. Seek out some of these mature believers who can pour into you. Ask them to disciple you. Just say it. Say, hey, can you disciple me? Hey, can we meet for coffee? And can you just share some stuff that you know? I have some questions. It doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional. We don't want this generation of Christians to die out. For all of us to be, hey, we enjoy being together. This is great. We want generation after generation after generation of disciples to be made. But it takes all of us. The worship team would come out, and you all can stand. We're going to close this morning. You know, for those of you who have been here for a long time, you'd call yourself long-timers, let's call you. You've seen a lot of changes happen over the years. And sometimes the enemy starts to put some lies, saying, you don't belong here. It's too different. It's not your style. It's not this. It's too young. Don't buy into that lie. I have an aunt who is this solid believer, and she moved to Texas, and she was looking for a church, and I was chatting with her, and she said, oh, I think I found a church that I really like, but I don't know if it's my style, and it seems kind of young. And I just looked her in the eyes, because I'm thinking what a dream it would be to have her, you know, in your ministry, and I just said, oh, that's why they need you. That's why they need you. You are so desperately needed. Don't buy into those lies. You're not finished until Jesus says so. Jesus is coming back to make all things new, but for now, we've got some work to do. See, the Spirit of God is not dependent on anything we can do in our own strength. We talked about that. But it takes a choice for us, a simple but profound choice to be available, to say yes, to surrender. This morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. We want to respond as a church, and we don't do this often, but sometimes it takes taking a step forward. Sometimes you can think something in your heart, but until you take a physical step forward, it just stays there, and it stays as a good intention. We're going to give you an opportunity to take a physical step forward, and to come down to these altars and pray and ask God to search your heart and surrender and be open to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has. And maybe it was one of those three things that we talked about, maybe those obstacles towards the mission of God. Maybe you've dealt with fear and insecurity, and this morning you're going to take a step down and say, okay, God, help me with my fear. Help me with my insecurity. Help me to not fear man more than I fear you. Help me to remember and understand what I have inside of me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Empower me. Or maybe you've been distracted and you veered off. There's something, and maybe it was one of the things that I mentioned or something else that you're going, I have been distracted. I have lived like this is it. This is as good as it gets. I haven't lived with a kingdom mindset. And this morning, you want to come down and surrender that and confess that and say, Lord, help me stay on mission for you. Or maybe you've craved comfort. Maybe you're listening to those words and you're saying, yeah, I've just been feeding myself. I've just been doing what's good for me. I have been blind to the people around me. God, I confess that. I want to take a step out. This is me taking a step out and saying, it's not about me. So this morning, I'm going to pray. And when I close, the worship team is going to sing, and you can just come on down for whatever area that you want to go. God, I'm saying this morning, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm ready for this mission of God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the incredible opportunity that you've given us as believers to be ambassadors for you. I thank you that we've been able to enjoy new life this morning. God, I pray that we would be awakened. That we'd be awakened to the potential that can happen when we step into the mission of God, when we say yes to you, when we are all in. God, remind us what this is all about. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for this community. I pray that you would continue to birth new things and new life and continue to wake us up to you. God, I pray this morning that you would fill people with the Holy Spirit, that you would empower us. God, we pray, God, that we would surrender the things that are not of you, that are not pleasing to you, the things that have gotten us distracted, God, and then we would step in to all that you have for us and all that you have for us to do. Holy Spirit, move, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on forward.
Let's go ahead and respond as we sing these words to him. We're going to close in prayer here. I was just reading this morning in Luke chapter 10. Jesus was about to send out 72 people that he appointed to go out into towns and villages to do this, to be his messengers, to do what we're talking about this morning. And he gives them instructions, and the instruction that he gives for them, they've already said, we're willing to go, we want to be sent. And then he gives them instructions, and part of the instruction that he gives to them, he tells them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. And I find it interesting that they've already signed up. They've already stepped forward and said, send us. We'll go where you tell us to go. We'll do what you tell us to do. And God, Jesus says to them, now, not only go, but as you go, pray that more people would catch this. Pray that more people would be sent. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll move on people's hearts, stir people's hearts up to go and to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. So we're going to do that this morning. We've just taken some time to make sure that we're doing our business with God and saying we're ready to go. We want to go. And we're going to say, God, we're going, but would you please send more? And I want us to agree in prayer together that from this church, God would send workers out into the harvest fields. They're ripe. The world is hungry and they're looking, and God is ready to move through us. He just needs availability. That's it. So we're going to pray and say, God, we're making ourselves available. Would you stir up more hearts? Would you send more workers out into the field from this church? Would you send more workers into the field from all the churches in this community? Would you stir up your body? Would you stir up the church in this world and advance your kingdom through us? Can you agree with me in prayer for that this morning? God, we come to you this morning and we recognize the high privilege that you would call us by name to yourself, that you would, in grace and in mercy and in love, lead us out of the pit that we found ourselves in, that you would set our feet on solid ground. God, you have given us water, living water to drink, and we're alive because of it. God, we sense you calling us to bring that living water to the world around us, and we don't know what that's going to look like, and we know that we have issues and we have baggage with us, but we trust, God, that your spirit is inside of us, that your spirit goes before us, that you desire to move through our availability more than we desire for you to move through us. God, you love the world more than we love them, and we trust that you'll work through us as we make ourselves available. And so we say, God, move us beyond our insecurities and our fears. Help us to stay focused instead of distracted. God, help us to move beyond our own comfort spiritually, to have eyes for those who are lost and who are broken. Give us your heart. And God, we echo the command of Jesus. We pray right now, God, send workers into the harvest field. We make ourselves available, but we say, Lord of the harvest, send more. Mobilize our church to a greater degree. Mobilize the churches in this Tri-City area. Mobilize the churches of Central Wisconsin. Right now, this morning, God, wake up believers. Open our eyes to the world that desperately needs you and to the call that you've placed on our lives to be your ambassadors. We ask for that to happen, Lord. Stir up the spirit of the believers within the churches. We pray in Jesus' name. And God, we look forward with great anticipation to what you want to do in and through our lives individually. We look forward with anticipation to what you desire to do in and through our lives collectively as this church, as CLF. God, we look forward with great anticipation to what you want to do in and through the lives of every believer in this region. God, mobilize your church for your name's sake, we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.